Go with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're starting a brand new series today, and this series is focusing on the Christmas season. And I am going to talk to you all straight up and tell you that the hardest series, the hardest messages to teach in a church are the messages on Christmas and Easter. Why? Y'all know where we're going when we get there. Y'all already know what this is going to be. You already expect me to go to traditional stories, and we can, in a sense, turn our mind on autopilot. But one thing about the Word of God is the Word of God is alive, and the Word of God is true. The Word of God is real. So every time you enter something that you think you know, open your mind to see something that you didn't see before. And I pray that this series, over the next 3 weeks that we're in person, and on the 26th of December, we will all just be online. I want you all to enjoy your Christmas. I want you all to be with family. And so we're not going to have an in-person physical gathering on the 26th because y'all know how it is. I don't want, you know, the day after Christmas, there's still that level of, for those of you all who really, really, really love church, you need us to say church is closed for you not to feel guilty for not coming to church when you're resting. So that's what we're doing. The in-person gathering is closed. We're going to make the message available all weekend long. We'll join up for those who just want to be with their church family, their virtual family. Ash and I are looking forward to being with you all online, and we're just going to have a good time. But in this series, I want you all to open up your heart to what the Lord would say to you. So Matthew chapter 1, and Matthew chapter 1 starts off with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. One thing I love about Matthew and the gospel accounts of the life of Jesus is it proves that Jesus was not a mythical figure. He was not a superhero or a Greek god. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And in his unique story, we're able to identify with the one who came to save us. Sometimes in leadership, you have a situation where there are leaders who want to impress you from afar, but those that want to impact you only do so when they're up close with you. And so Jesus, who was in heaven from the foundation of all creation, decided to come to earth to be with us. That's why his name is Emmanuel, God with us. He wanted to impact our lives. He did not want to impress our lives, to feel like we have a God that we can't reach and we can't relate to. He doesn't understand what we're dealing with. No, we have a God, as we'll see in the text in just a moment, who came to earth and had to overcome similar barriers that we had to deal with. And one thing about a leader who's gone through something, they have a heart for people when they go through something. So if you, in your life, think about the things that you've overcome. Think about the major testimonies and the major stories and the deep, dark secrets that only you and the Lord really know about. When you hear of someone that you love who is going through a similar occasion and going through a similar plight, you're moved with compassion to let them know, number one, you are not an anomaly. You are not a unicorn. This is not abnormal. This is natural. And in the darkest of moments, you want to tell them you will be just fine. And that was one of the purposes that the Messiah came. But in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, and this is our text, I want to give you all a tool that will help you enhance your Bible reading. Online, there's a social media influencer by the name of Country Wayne. I don't know if y'all know him. Great, great comedian. I mean, just hilarious kind of stuff. Anyway, he's funny to me. Don't judge me. But Country Wayne was talking about his testimony and how he was transformed by the power of God, which he had a real experience to cause him to not be ashamed of his transformation and his testimony. It caused him to be like, as he made an illustration to a crackhead. A crackhead does not care how they look. They don't care that their teeth are missing. They're going to keep using that product because they know of the effect that it had on their life. And he said, God is way better than crack. He's not, you know, condoning, you know, crack usage. You know, he's not doing that. But he's saying, when you have a product that you know is so good, you don't care how you look. You don't care who knows. You don't care what you have to do to be around it. That's the God that we serve. But I want to show you how to read his scripture to make it come alive to you. So in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 1, it says, Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who was called the Messiah. All those listed above included 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. Now, why would I use this as an opening text for a series? I'm learning, because I'm forever learning in this life, love, and relationships, the communication differences between males and females. My wife, when I come home, expects me to give her a detailed redaction of my entire day with feelings, stops, and timestamps included. Naturally, because of the wiring of my brain being a linear communicator, I deem it necessary to make the adjustment and only give her the highlights. And so when she says, "How is your day?" and my response after not seeing her for 8 hours is fine, in my mind that would suffice, but in hers, I need to know a little bit more other than "your day was just fine." Now, it took me some time, and so for those who are married in here and those who will be getting married, do not be like me, but it took me some time to realize that I need to stop and give her some background and some context, because within the lines, there's a story that's even deeper that brings contextual meaning and purpose, and it includes you into the thought processes that are going on. And so we're reading Matthew chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and we're just seeing in this genealogy, this historical record, this historical document that can be found on earth. It says that Jacob was the father of Joseph and the husband of Mary, and Mary gave birth to Jesus, who was called the Messiah. Verse 17, they just so happened to put 42 generations into one particular verse. That is the ultimate spark notes. That is the ultimate cliff notes. Because in 42 generations, there was a lot that had to have taken place in order for us to get where we are today at this moment where we're beginning to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. One thing that we need to notice, and Tim Keller said this in his book called Hidden Christmas, he says, God may seem to have forgotten in your life, but right now he is in the process of arranging all that will fulfill his great promises concerning you. So in the headlines, in where you feel like there are things that are missing, God is always at work behind the scene, and that's the title of the series, Behind the Scene, putting together the pieces of his eternal story. So what we can see and what we can learn over the next few weeks from the life of Jesus is that, yes, we all see and we all celebrate and have hymns about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, but for over 42 generations, God was at work behind the scene, being faithful concerning his promise. And I just want to encourage you that if his track record is good for 42 generations to pull something together that is statistically an improbability, then in your life, in your one generation or your two or three generations that you're over, he is able to be at work in your life to bring about what he said concerning your life. So when we look at the story of Jesus, we have to go back and see what was included for our understanding. Because if Jesus had a family history that was perfect, the word would say it. But he didn't. In the King James, you hear a whole bunch of, "and this person begat this person, and that person begat this person, and that person begat that person, and that person begat that person." They didn't mention everyone that was begat, but they mentioned a few key individuals that were a part of that lineage, a part of Jesus' family history, just to comfort your heart. Because sometimes we feel like we don't come from the right side of the tracks. Sometimes we feel like we're at a disadvantage because of where we've been. This is the key fundamental point of the gospel, is that regardless as to where or what you were born into, it doesn't negate God's word concerning you. And so you'll see someone in the life, early on in the life of the family history of Jesus that was a prostitute. You see someone that was an adulterer. You see issues of infertility. You see liars. You see schemers. You see manipulators. All to comfort our heart and to say, the Lord is saying, I don't care what's in your family. My focus is on bringing to pass my word concerning your life. So all the lies Satan tells you about, because this happened to you, you're disqualified. He gave you proof positive in Jesus Christ, who we celebrate every single year, that regardless as to what happened in the past, God never gave up on his word concerning his family. So God is at work behind the scenes in your life. We're going to take a look at the lesson that comes from this Christmas season to understand that even when I don't see God working, he's still moving. Even when I don't feel God working, he's still moving. Even when I feel like he's forgotten about me, he's still working, because he's done that for all creation to see and wrote about it in the Word of God, or in the gospel, or what we call the good news. The good news is not the good advice. It's not the good advisement. It's the good news. News is about a report of what has already happened. And so he put in his book his character to prove that, listen, it already happened. In fact, the Lord is asking us, if we would, to operate in a place of divine ignorance. We need to live in a place of divine ignorance. The unfortunate reality of the information age is we feel like we have all we need to know at our fingertips. We're able to reason or consult with the Creator about decisions in our life. Until our bodies are made completely new and our mind is completely glorified and made anew, we are going to have a war between what God told us and what we actually do. And it's because, and this is going to sound tough, but it's real, you have hostility naturally in your heart toward God. Oh, church folk don't want to admit that. Yeah, we all have a level of hostility toward God in our heart. And the way that we rehab this hostility is becoming more and more childlike in his request concerning us. The more we have a mind of our own, and the more, including myself, we push back, we are displaying a hostile environment with our Creator. In our hearts, in my life, that reality, and the Lord, when he deals with me, he sits me down as a father to a son. And he starts talking to me, but he starts saying a whole lot of stuff I don't want to hear. And it takes you to be a little bit mature to accept that there are areas that you still need to develop, and you're not as holy as you'd like to believe. All of us believe we're more morally ethical than we really are. Nobody's walking around, I don't think, for the most part, saying like, yeah, I'm trash. Like, none of us are doing that. But what the Lord wants to show us and share with us is that I'm going to need you to grow to a place of divine ignorance. Divine ignorance is found in the life of Mary. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we'll, for the sake of time, pick up at verse 34. Luke chapter 1, divine ignorance. What is this term, divine ignorance? Because we pride ourselves on getting knowledge, having books, getting information. But now the Lord is asking us to live in a place of divine ignorance. So leading up to what we're about to read, an angel comes out of nowhere to Mary and says, hey, you're about to be pregnant from God. Yup. And we sometimes look at scripture and think that they were different than us. In that when the Lord comes to you and says, hey, I'm going to impregnate you. I'm just putting myself in that. If the Lord went to Ashley and said, hey, I'm going to impregnate her, and she were to have relayed that to me, Ladies, if you're praying, like this is why I don't pray. If you're praying and the Lord comes to you and says, I want to impregnate you with the Savior of the world. You now can, when you're feeling this, can put yourself in Mary's shoes. Because there's two types of doubts that you have to understand exist in our life. There's the first type of doubt that your mind is closed. Like, I'm not trying to hear what you're telling me, Lord. I already know the way I want to go. I don't even think that I'm able to accomplish this. That's the first type of doubt. But the second type of doubt is actually not a bad doubt. Oh, Lord, in church, I said, it's okay to have a particular type of doubt? Absolutely. The second type of doubt is a doubt with an open mind. It says, God, I don't know how, but I trust you to do what you say you're going to do. That's honest. So Mary had the second type of doubt. In verse 34, as you see, Mary said this, she said, hey, I hear what you're saying, but how can this be? I'm a virgin. Verse 35, the angel replied and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So he's going to show her how. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, the baby to be born will be holy, and he'll be called the Son of God. What more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. Verse 37. This is where we live in divine ignorance. I might not know all the details, but I believe what verse 37 says. The word of God will never fail. Now, I want us on the count of three to say, as well as type in online, verse 37. On the count of three. One, two, three. For the word of God will never fail. That's what it means to be divinely ignorant. I don't know all the details, but on the count of three, let's say it again. One, two, three. The word of God will never fail. What's going on in your life right now? On the count of three. One, two, three. For the word of God will never fail. You might be wondering. You might be trying to put all your plans together. You might be hearing what God said, but on the count of three. One, two, three. For the word of God will never fail. And that's our comfort during this season, that if he was able to be faithful for 42 generations, over 42, as we'll see in just a moment, his word doesn't fail. So here's the response to having the healthy type of doubt, to walking in divine ignorance. Verse 38, Mary responded, and this should be our response. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. My job is not to be the master. My job is to be the one who serves the master. And may everything, and I'm saying this to you right now, may everything God has said about you come true. May everything that God has said about you. Amen. We were all set up from the beginning. From the very beginning, you've been set up. Yep. All this, a setup. In fact, in Revelation 13 and 8, the B part of the verse, it says, the lamb who was slaughtered, referring to Jesus, before the world was made, before any of this came to be, there was already a response to whatever you could do. Some of you have been trying to run from what God has been asking you to do for a very long time, but I came to let you know today that you have been set up. There is no accident that you tuned in, that you came here. There are a million other things you could be doing right now, but you're here listening to me tell you that you've been set up from the beginning. All of this was a part of God's plan. And even when you think you're running away, you're running into him. Because as it says in Ephesians chapter 3, who knows the depth, the breadth, the length, the height of God's love for you? So there is no way for you to escape his love. Even if you decided to go to the very pits of hell to not hear his voice, he's going to be right there saying, and when you're ready, I'm right here to get started back again. You've been set up from the beginning. God already had an answer before there ever was a problem in your life. There was already an answer waiting for you to be divinely ignorant, to say, listen, I don't know how, but I know your word never fails, and let everything you've said about me come true. You've been set up. You can go through the entire word of God. You can see even in Genesis. So Matthew chapter 1, the record of the genealogy of Jesus started with Abraham. But if you go to Genesis 3 and 15 and write that down for the sake of time, you'll be able to see that even when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, Genesis 3:15 already gave a prophecy that there would be a seed that comes out of the woman that would crush the very person who caused her to trip up. From the very beginning, all throughout the prophets, the major and minor prophets of the Old Testament, all of them were foretelling what God was saying he was already going to do. For anybody who enjoys sports as much as I do, the really good athletes call their shots. If you ever watch Steph Curry shoot a three-pointer, he will shoot a three-pointer, and before the ball hits the bottom of the net, he's already turning. It's not always 100% fail-proof, but more times than not, he's already turning the other way because he knows it's going in. And when we can get into an agreement with what God said, because true faith simply says, God, you're not a liar. God, you're not a liar. If we get in line with him, knowing that he has orchestrated and set up everything that we need as long as we keep moving, here's the balance to this. Here's the balance. Folks sit on their tail and get mad because they don't feel like God is working on their behalf. No amount of laziness will outdo an ounce of obedience. You just need an ounce. And so this is why here at our church, we have put in certain disciplines and certain things, because at the end of the day, I appreciate great church services. I really like them. They're nice. I mean, this is fun. Y'all really come into church. Like, this is really exciting. But if your life's not changing, I don't care about none of this. If you don't see yourself growing from one year to the next, all of this was for nothing. So my desire is get you into these settings to encourage you that there's going to have to be a level of personal discipline to spiritual formation, and there's going to have to be a commitment to getting together with one or two other people that you trust, that you all can encourage each other in scripture and in the word of God. If those two things don't happen as a result of this, we're wasting time here. This is a safe environment for us to find new people, make new connections, because even as we're talking, even as you're listening, there are so many connections in the network of this community that if we tap into them, everything we need is already inside of the house or through our online family. We have what we need to take the next step. Here's what God has been pushing me in my personal time. Vince, if you don't get before these people and tell them, listen, y'all, we're not going to be lazy our whole life. Listen, y'all, we're not just going to play pity-pat with God our whole life. We're not just going to come in here and just say, I'm just going to check this off the to-do list and be done with it. We're not about to do that at the outlet. I'm sorry, wrong church. But I'm looking at every single person, seeing where God wants you to go and asking, did you give your best effort? Whatever that looks like. All of us are at different spectrums. But we all need each other to encourage us to just take the next step. So yes, we're preaching about Christmas now, but my goal is to get all of us praying in the new year. Can you imagine what would happen if our church came together and said our focus is just simply to hear from God? Not going with our list of I need you to do this, I need you to do that, I need you to do this, I need you to do that, I need this. None of that, but just saying, God, we are your servants. May everything you've said about all of us come to pass. That's what I'm willing to fight for as we move forward. That's what I live for every day, every meeting, every late night, Every phone call, every hospital visit, every community event is so that may everything God has said about your life and the lives of people that we have yet to touch. See, the reality is the traditional way and the traditional model of church is broken. Man's church is broken. God's church is more alive than it's ever been. But within man's church, historically, the weight of ministry activity has been on the holy few, the pastor and their elders and the super-duper spiritual ones. It's been on them. That's broken. How do I know that? Let's take a rabbit trail. You guys want to take a rabbit trail with me? Can I take a quick rabbit trail? All right. Back in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, when there was a major movie that needed to be released, where did we go to see that movie? The movie theater. All right. And the movie theaters and the major companies would tell you what was a great movie and what wasn't for the masses. A lot of these lower budget indie type films weren't getting as much recognition because everything was being driven by the powerful few. But as a result of streaming, the industry has been flipped on its head to where now the people tell you what's important. The people tell you who's famous. The people tell you what they're going to watch. But that particular model in industry has been the model of the Great Commission from the very beginning. God never intended for you all to wait till you got here on Sunday to get your fix and wait for the man and woman of God to declare what God was only talking to them for you to have a blessed life. And unfortunately, as pastors, we got hooked on the opium of people shouting our name and singing our praises and serving us that we forgot of the Great Commission was that we are to go to them. The outlet from the very beginning has had the upside down model. And from the very beginning, the Lord has showed us that if you go to the people, everything you need will be where the people are because that's where I sent you. I'm going to share this because we're getting ready for our board meetings on this week for the year. The pandemic did not stop this church in any regard. There was no drop off anywhere in the church, and I put charts year over year over year. The pandemic was an external factor that we had to deal with and find out how to serve people, but it had no bearing on this church whatsoever. None. Why? If your model is based in God, whatever it is, your business, your company, your thinking, if it's based in Scripture, it's proven. It's the wisdom of God that supersedes the reactions that we see from the world. So whatever is happening, if you can get enough wisdom, all of that is just extra information so you can be empathetic to those who are being affected by what you're going through. Although our church wasn't affected by the pandemic, the reality was we changed our model to serve people better through the midst of the pandemic. It wasn't the time for the church to bandstand? That's what it is where you beat your chest and you're the high brand stand. Brand with grand. There it is. Thank you. New words. All right. Got new words. See? Praise the Lord. Thank y'all. Grandstand. It wasn't the time for the church to grandstand about we're the body of Christ. No. Your job is to serve people wherever you are. And I'm just going to level with you all today. If you just shared with your level of influence what has been blessing you, there would not be a room. There would not be a place that could contain what God wants to do. Because God's plan is not for the Outlet Community Church to be the greatest and latest mega church in the city of Atlanta. I don't believe that's God's plan for our church. If it happens, it happens. I believe God's plan is that we mobilize the church that we have influence over to bring his body into unity, to do his work in the community. Amen. All right, that's my rabbit trail. But this is where we're going, y'all. And I'm just asking for you all to lock in with us. Go all in with us. It got real to me knowing that God has given us everything we need to be successful. But if I squander it and I don't steward it well, I'm going to be crying about something that God has already done. This next year is big for everyone in here under the sound. This next year is big for you. It's bigger than anything that you could have ever asked or thought of. But you're going to end the year disappointed if you don't cooperate with the grace. Why do we do church membership? Easy. We want to be able to stay in fellowship and community and communication and be able to have conversations like this. That's the reason for church membership, to ultimately be a value-adding community that comes alongside you and enhance your life. That's why we do church membership. Why do we have core teams? There are people who need your gift the way that you give it so that they could hear the gospel. The only way this church is going to expand beyond what we're seeing today is if everybody buys in and says, this is not just Vince and Ashley's church. It's my church. We have a mission. We have a reason. And as long as there's one person still sleeping underneath the bridge, as long as there's one child still not getting the right education that it needs, as long as there's one person not involved in small business or in the career field that they believe that they're called to, if there's one person who hasn't heard the name of Jesus Christ, if there's one person who is dealing with a broken marriage, broken relationship, broken heart, then we still have work to do. I'm all in, y'all. And I'm saying, let's go for it. I'm all in. Let's do something with the body that's here, a body of Christ that's here, that this world has yet to see. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts to receive Holy Communion today. Amen. Man. I'm so just filled today. And I'll tell you what it was. The first day I started this 31, because I believe as leaders, we have to go ahead of the people to let them know the water's fine and y'all come on in. So the Lord said, I want you in December to get ready for what we're going to do as a church in January. And the first day for me, I didn't realize how distracted I was. Until I, out of regiment, shut everything down. I didn't realize it. And in the first day, I began hearing the Lord speak things that I've been asking for the last 12 months. It wasn't that he wasn't speaking. I was distracted. So I had this iPhone, and this is why you get iPhones. On iPhone, and the screen time... In the screen time menu, it has a area that says downtime. And so I've scheduled my downtime around the watch that I'm doing my fast. And it was just like a flood of, this is what you need to do. And just immediately, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. We woke up on Giving Tuesday. Our church, you know, our heart is to be a blessing to the community. And so, so grateful for just everyone who works with our church to help us stay a blessing. And we needed a few grand to meet our goal of what we wanted to raise in the Christmas season. And in that morning, I woke up and the Lord said, on Giving Tuesday, Vince, I want you all to give and not ask. Opportunity for divine ignorance. Lord, how can this be, seeing that we still have about $3,500 that we need to raise for our goal? Just do it. So I prayed about the organizations where the Lord said, I want you to sow into these organizations. And I think I saw a post go out on social media with 7, but there were actually 9 organizations that our church said, we want to, this is who you bless. This is what you do. This is what you do. And so all those things were executed. And I'm sitting in our weekly staff meeting, and I get a call on our church line from an individual who said, I've been following your church, and I've been blessed with a large harvest. Where do I drop it off at? And it was more than what anyone who's a part of that project could have ever asked or thought of. And the Lord said, Vince, if you could just live like this. Here's the reality. We all got problems. People could look at you and think, oh my gosh, life is so grand. Everything is going so well. Oh, there's nothing that happens to you. Because they're reading, like we read in verse 17, they're just reading what they can see. But there's something going on behind the scene. And we all have stuff going on behind the scenes. But God is always at work behind those scenes. Amen. Let's stand today to receive Holy Communion. If you're at home and you want to participate in